It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
On all the VGK social media channels, we are up and we are alive and we are running through this Nighttime at Noon. Darren Millard along with the voice of the Henderson Silver Knights, Brian McCormick. My headset is all wonky right now. See how I just casually managed to work through that as a broadcast professional, not letting anybody know what was going on?
It was impressive, but I also saw you wearing it around your neck for the last 15 minutes when you could have been testing that out. So
it's
when you live on the
same edge,
sometimes you fall off.
It's never the same on the air as it is off the air. We didn't do any type of rehearsal. That's the way that Brian McCormick and I roll. We've got the Vancouver Canucks hosting the Vegas Golden Knights tonight. Two more road games left for the VGK as their magic number is down to 3 to clinch a playoff spot. We've got some lineup news for you, including the debut coming up of Tomas Hertl for the Vegas Golden Knights. We will discuss that. We will also go around the National Hockey League, hopefully bring you some of Bruce Cassidy's media availability from Vancouver ahead of this game this evening. We can tell you that we are looking forward to it due to the fact that it really does ramp up the intensity. Not only are you playing teams that potentially will be first-round opponents, but you're on the brink of locking down a playoff spot.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it's anyone who thinks that any sport is scripted, and coming off of WrestleMania last week, sometimes the schedule makers are the one that make you think that the most, because East Side, West Side, I mean, there are a lot of matchups right now, especially the Eastern Conference. Nobody wants to claim that last playoff spot where it just looks like it's just so convenient. Some of the teams are going head-to-head against each other, but this last week and a half, it's the best time of year, and for the VGK, they have the ability to take care of business against Vancouver and then wait and see if they can get the cooperation around the rest of the league to sew things up permanently. But the way they looked against Vancouver last week and the way Vancouver has looked over the course of the last couple of days makes tonight an opportunity for the VGK to take care of their own business.
Also looking forward to a special guest joining us here in Studio 31 at Cena National Arena. Gordy Mark is going to pop by. He is the head coach of the 14U girls national champions from the Vegas Junior Golden Knights. They won on the weekend in overtime, 1-0 in the national championship game. And Gordy's going to pop by and just give us a little bit of insight into his team that marched straight through and was really good defensively. And we'll show you some of the highlights from what happened in Sioux Falls.
Great story. It's going to be a lot of fun to get the honestly the behind the scenes, because we've seen some of the photos of the weekend. Of course, it's so exciting for the 14U girls to have success. And you know, I just think to myself, the pressure that comes with a 1-0 overtime final for any team is significant. But how do kids handle that kind of pressure? So I can't wait to see what Gordy can tell us what it was like on the bench leading up to the moment.
I'm sure it's easier for the kids than the parents or the coaches.
I would think so. You know what? I would think at 8 years old that would be the case. I think 14U, that's just old enough to understand the ramifications. So I'd imagine that there's going to be some good behind-the-scenes stories.
1-0 in overtime for the championship game to win a national title for the 14U girls team with the Vegas Junior Golden Knights. Vegas Golden Knights, 7-2-1 over their last 10, so they've been going in the right direction, but they are coming off the game against the Arizona Coyotes. I would think that there's going to be a little bit of a burr under the saddle of the VGK tonight.
I would think so, and you know, I think over the course of these last couple of weeks of the season, especially with the Golden Knights trying to, again, make it playoff official, and they still have a little work to do there, but pretty well in the driver's seat with a 5-point lead over St. Louis behind them and two games in hand. So they're in good shape, but you want to make sure you're playing your best hockey and playing the right way as you go into the finish line. And Bruce Cassidy talked about a little bit yesterday just how, you know, all the wins that they've had over the course of the last couple of weeks, the couple of losses they've had, the loss in Nashville, the loss in Arizona, you want to make sure that you're closing out games. And that's something that you want to sew up. But, you know, if the two losses they have over that stretch, the loss in Arizona particularly, if that's a 4-1 loss in Arizona, you kind of just dust your hands off and say, okay, well, you're not going to win them all, and you move on. So I think for fans, the way that the third period transpired at Mullet Arena is one that makes you a little bit, I wouldn't even say concerned, just as much as it's like, okay, well, that's a very notable way to lose a game. But the way you bounce back and having an opportunity to do it in Vancouver, is a chance to get things right again.
If you're curious, and I'm sure you are if you're a Vegas Golden Knight fan and you're listening to this program, the magic number for Vegas to clinch a playoff spot is 3. So any number of points gained or St. Louis points losses that adds up to 3 will give the Vegas Golden Knights that that playoff spot. Vegas can knock it down to 1 with a victory tonight and on their own merit be able to do that as Vegas holds that wild card 2 spot over the St. Louis Blues, a 5-point difference between the two hockey clubs.
And then St. Louis on Wednesday hosts Chicago. The next couple for St. Louis, Chicago, Friday against Carolina. So that can be taken care of if the VGK do their job tonight. That can be taken care of Wednesday against Chicago. But nonetheless, for St. Louis, the Carolina contest next week against Dallas, they've got some tough games ahead of themselves, too, if they're going to win out and do what they want to do.
What would you tell the fan who's maybe slightly nervous about the situation right now?
I'd say they shouldn't be.
Right.
Because it's a team that's winning
exactly
consistently. And again, the Arizona defeat is you know, where for Bruce Cassidy, I think that's more of a learning opportunity of, okay, guys, this is the way we need to close out third periods. And, you know, there's a couple of goals. The second Carcone goal goes off of, I think, 2 sticks. It goes off White Cloud before it goes in. So, you know, some days it's just not your day, especially against an Arizona team that's had some really rough stretches this season. But they're young, they're fun, and they've got nothing to play for now. So they're going to be a stick in the side for a couple of teams that are trying to sew things up. There's nothing to be worried about. If you could draw up the scenario, you've got a 5-point advantage over St. Louis. You've got 2 games in hand, and the finish line is in sight. So you got to do your job. You got to win your hockey games. This is a team that's won 7 of 10, is playing very well, has beaten some really good teams over the course of the last 10, including Vancouver last week, and a Vancouver team that right now does not look exactly like they're primed for the postseason, the way they've been over the last 10 games or so. So, you know, what would you ask for? You would ask for the opportunity that you can take care of your own destiny. VGK has that.
If you look and pay attention to what St. Louis is going through right now, Vegas should be as positive, the fan base, as positive as the St. Louis fan base is pessimistic.
Right.
Because they're looking at it saying, we got no chance in this.
No, and you know, it's any a fan base can be as optimistic as they want to be. You know, I think you look a couple of days back, you look at Pittsburgh, and they would be pessimistic in that matter, but then they won 4 games in a row and put themselves in the driver's seat. That, I mean, they still need they still need to roll the dice 7s, but I mean, if they win out, Pittsburgh gets in. But you look at St. Louis of late, they lost an overtime game in San Jose. That, if you're trying to make a push, that just can't happen. The loss in Nashville, a shootout game in Anaheim, they're not exactly playing tight right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I agree. If you're for a Golden Knights fan, you've got control of your own destiny and you're playing good hockey. The teams that are chasing you need your help and aren't exactly firing on all cylinders.
I want to get into the debut and unveiling of Tomas Hertl tonight. And it's funny because there's all this talk about the playoff push, which is the most important thing, getting your game ready for the postseason down the stretch drive, which is equally as valuable. And then you have this prize that you're going to be unwrapped that you've been waiting to see for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
The funny thing is it's a deadline acquisition, right? So this is going to be our first time to see Tomas Hertl and again, all signs are pointing to him playing in Vancouver. But it's a trade deadline acquisition, and it kind of feels, ordinarily when you get a player back from injury, if it's a player that was yours already, it feels like, well, you're just dropping a guy of this caliber in at this point, right at the finish line. But it is a trade deadline acquisition. But, you know, it's an all-world talent. It's a player that can probably be, despite coming back from injury, there's going to be some cobwebs to clear off. We're not going to get too presumptuous with what he's able to contributed in his first game or two, but you know, it's a massive addition to the top 6, and I think it's also to remember that on deadline day when it happened, nobody had that one out there. That wasn't on anybody's radar that Tomas Hertl was even available. So you get the jolt of his addition when it happened, and then you know you're going to have a delayed gratification to see the impact of it. Now, I mean, this is as good an addition as any team is going to be able to make in the last couple of games of the season. Right up there with Colorado when they get Mikko Rantanen back, provided that happens soon. So it's a massive opportunity for a boost, and it's also the fact that without Tomas Hertl, without Mark Stone for a while, without the players that are, you know, the kinds of guys that can really be top 6 explosive players in a postseason run, the Golden Knights have still been winning. The Golden Knights without a complete lineup, Bruce Cassidy said yesterday, the list's starting to get a little bit long again. There's no Nick Waugh, there's no Alex Pietrangelo, and they've still been finding ways to win. So to drop him in now, I mean, that's a guy with 40-goal talent that you're putting in at and a well-rested 40-goal talent right here at the finish.
For those that were watching via the live stream, we are enjoying some of the highlights of Tomas Hertl, and we'll get the opinion and feedback from Brian McCormick on what he sees and what that could translate into for the Vegas Golden Knights. And we'll also speculate as we continue where he will slot into the forward lineup tonight. We also have Gordy Mark standing by, head coach of the national championship 14U girls team that won for the Vegas Junior Golden Knights yesterday. A big, thrilling 1-0 overtime win. We'll chat to him about what the team went through this year and what it was like on the bench during the just sensational moment of winning in overtime in a national title game. Foley Food and Wine Society created to celebrate three of Bill and Carol Foley's greatest passions, world-class wines, exceptional cuisine, and magnificent travel destinations. Members of the society will have access to an entire portfolio of properties around the world and have exclusive opportunity to join like-minded individuals who seek experiences for the final things in life, the finer things in life, like Sean McCormick. We are looking forward to that. You can join for free today by visiting FoleyFoodAndWineSociety.com. More on Tomas Hertl and Gordy Mark on the way on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas and all of the Golden Knights social media channels.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Along with Brian McCormick, Darren Millard here at Nighttime at Noon, and Fox Sports Las Vegas, as well as Nighttime Plus and all the Vegas Golden Knights social media channels here in Studio 31. And pleased to say hello and introduce the viewers and the listeners to Gordy Mark, who is the head coach of the national champion 14U Vegas Golden Knight Junior Girls program, who won yesterday in overtime. Basking in the glow still?
Absolutely. Yeah. Doesn't get better than somebody's saying, national champs, huh? That never going to get old.
So what was the moment you went in overtime yesterday, 1-0, a thrilling game, almost a perfect hockey game? Were you nervous, or what was the game like?
The game was pretty even. They maybe outchanced us a little bit, but the shots they got were from the boards and, you know, a ways away from the net, and our goalies are good enough. They're going to stop that, 99 times out of 100. So the girls played great defensive structure, and I just kept telling them, we're going to get a chance. When we get a chance, we'll bury it. And, you know, it ended up, we got a little puck bounce. Girl made a move on one of their defensemen and hit the far side of the net. And that was it.
Did you know it went in right away?
I could see it. I had a perfect angle to see it. She said she didn't know it went in until she saw the look on the goalie's face.
That's the ultimate. Goaltenders will tell you everything. Yeah. Where was this possibility on your radar coming into the year?
Honestly, when I got the job, our goal was to get to nationals, and I was told that was going to be a long shot at best because there's four or five teams in our region that were substantially better than us. But you know, the girls bought into what we tried to teach them, and I think we were the hardest working team that I saw all year, and you know, it just, they did what you asked them, and we got a couple bounces. We got great goaltenders, and that's what you need to win.
At what point during the game, the final, Gordy, it's a 1-0 overtime game. I imagine it was somewhere well before, maybe midway through the third period, where you thought to yourself, you know what, one might be it. That might be all it takes today.
Well, it's funny because we played that South Dakota team our first pool play game, and we beat them 1-0 in that game as well. So even halfway through the second, I go, I'm thinking one might be all it takes. And so I'd, like, in between periods, just tell the girls, I go, this is what we prep for. They're the ones getting nervous. You know, we know what's going on. We're not going to be too nervous about playing or making mistakes. And they didn't. I don't think their panic level ever rose above a 1 on a scale of 10. So they're pretty mature group of kids.
How impressed were you with that, though? Because 1-0, let alone just any one goal margin in a championship game for any age, is stressful, fans and players alike. But these are young kids handling that. You know, you're on that bench in overtime knowing that one goal is going to do it. Yeah. That's a lot of pressure on anybody, let alone young players.
I think they embraced it. I really do. They didn't look like their panic level ever raised. Like, no matter what was happening, whether, you know, we gave up a shot on net or whether we had a chance to score, it's just they're real flatline, you know, confident kids, and it ended up working out.
Coming off the national championship, we're with Gordy Mark, the head coach of the 14U Vegas Junior Golden Knights program that won 1-0 in overtime yesterday. Give us an idea of the makeup of your team. Were you a strong offensive team, rely on defense? What's the DNA there?
We got some skilled kids. When I first saw Darren Elliott, took me down and watched him skate once before I was officially the coach, and they all skate well. Thing that jumped out to me is, good gravy, we're tiny. Like, we got a lot of small girls, but they're little pepper pots. Like, they would be going up against girls giving away 50 pounds and they'd still be battling them on the boards. Offensively, you know, I would say we're a little above average maybe for our age group, but defensively we're lights out, and we played 60 games this year and we gave up 66 goals.
Wow.
Total. And you know, that speaks to our goaltenders are really good. But, you know, the girls, they did a great job of buying in on keeping the puck to the outside, letting them shoot from the boards or the blue line. And I don't know, just seemed to fall into place at the right time for us.
Gordy, you mentioned the team you beat in the championship was the team you beat in pool play as well. And I think sometimes for anyone who hasn't been, you know, maybe their kids aren't old enough, you haven't had a chance to go to a tournament like a national tournament, the tournament itself is a journey from pool play. Oh, you know, from start of the week to the end of the week, you can become a different team. Yeah. And not to mention the fact everyone's at one or two rinks. The entire hockey world of your age group has descended on that one city. So you see all the traditional powers. It's like a convention.
Yeah.
So you've got young girls trying to win something. All the while, you're surrounded constantly by your opposition. You're watching the other teams play. I mean, it's a lot of gravity there. What can you tell us about the journey of the entire tournament experience that finished with a win?
Yeah, it is a marathon. I think we played 6 games in 5 days. So, you know, it's tough to be at your best every game out. It's funny, with our first game, the announcer comes on and he's giving his spiel about thanking people for being there, and he goes, I'm going to let you think about this. What's the significance of number 2007? And then there's this little stoppage in play, and I go, girls, do you know what that significant number is? No, what is it, coach? I go, that's the number of girls that turned me down for a date before they go out with me. And they laughed their tails off, and I knew we were good.
All 2007 of them, they're regretting that now, aren't they?
Got a date on a national championship coach. You come from a great hockey background. Were you nervous during this? You've played thousands of games.
I wasn't nervous once the game started. The night before, I didn't get 5 minutes of sleep. I was just going over the scenarios, and, you know, I know that sounds lame, but I wanted to give my best to the girls to give them a chance to fulfill their dreams. And every time I'd be thinking about them, 1-0. 1-0, that score kept coming up. So,
premonition?
I don't know. I know I slept good last night because I didn't sleep the night before. But, no, it was a surreal experience for sure.
Curious, because you've watched hockey grow in the Las Vegas Valley.
Yep.
Before the VGK, and now obviously being able to capitalize on some of what the National Hockey League has brought. This being your first year as head coach, the journey and the significance of a national championship for a 14U. A lot of these girls hadn't played hockey before the Golden Knights arrived, and now they're national champions.
I believe a lot of these girls may be only in the game for 3 years. There's some that played longer than that, had brothers that played, so they were around the game a little longer, but I think a strictly girls team, this was the 3rd year, I believe, for this group of kids. So they've come a long way. I know we had coaches from Maryland and Boston talking to us this weekend. I go, wait, is that the Knights logo? You got a team from Vegas here at Nationals? And they were shocked that we'd made it that far. And so it was,
not just made it that far.
Well, They talked to us before we won it. So
let's go back and have that conversation again and freshen it up a little bit.
But you know what's interesting there too, Gordy, is that you've got girls on this team, like you said, only been playing a few years, some longer, but a good number of them have are young in their playing careers, that maybe in October they were saying, I want to play hockey, I want to have fun, and then 6 months later, not only are they national champions, but probably some with thoughts of, you know, I want to play this game a lot longer.
Well, I think there's a few of the girls that are hopeful that they can get to college scholarship, whether it's the club level or, you know, D3, D1, possibly. I know D1's a long shot.
Hard for anybody. For a lot of,
yeah, exactly, because there's so few spots available. But, you know, I know when I first addressed them, I think maybe 2 weeks into our practices, I said something about, well, we're working hard because our goal is to go to nationals. And they're looking around the dressing room like, yeah, that's where we want to go. And, like, I don't think they believed it back then. And, you know, as the season went along, we played some good competition and we hung in there and won a few games, lost a few games. And I think they started to believe that we were capable of maybe getting to nationals.
So was it just a naiveness?
My part? Probably.
No, on their part. Like, not really realizing how good they can possibly
do. They know they're good now.
Yeah.
They know they're good now. I'm not sure if it's naivety or the fact that maybe this was the first year that they'd been on a national-bound team, like that was looking to qualify and possibly go to nationals. I'm not sure, so... but the bottom line is they bought in, and, you know, Jeff Sharples, he came out to practice a couple times before we left, and I told the girls, I've been trying to get him to come out here for a couple months now. I says, you make sure you give him the gears that, oh, yeah, now we qualify for nationals. You want to come out and see what we're all about? And one of the girls at the end of practice, hey, Coach Jeff, how come you haven't been out earlier? Wait till we qualify. So they got some personality too.
By the way, Sharples is calling himself the Kingmaker because he came out for a couple of practices before you went to nationals and you won. Yeah. So he's taking all the credit.
I'm sure he is. You know Jeff.
First float in the parade.
You got Sharples, obviously Las Vegas Thunder, around the sport, playing the National Hockey League, you and your background, Darren Elliott here, pretty good collection of hockey people that have come together to help make this possible.
Well, you know, I got Wally Lacroix. I think everybody that's involved in youth hockey knows who Wally is, and he's been pestering me for 8 or 9 years to come and help him with the boys. So finally, like this year, I said, okay, I'll come and help you with the boys. And 3 days later, he calls and goes, hey, you want to coach the girls' team? And he goes, you're good for it because you coached the girls' softball for 15 years. And, you know, so I go, yeah, okay, let's do it, see what happens.
Gordon, is it different coaching softball than hockey? Like, how do you manage the players in that regard?
I don't know. I found that whether it's coaching the girls' softball or girls' hockey, if you're just authentic with them, they'll buy in. Like, I've got girls that come back from college now. They're police officers, you know, lawyers, doctor assistants, and they come back and they go, you know, you and the coaches taught us more about than just keeping score. Like, you gave us life lessons that, you know, you're gonna have to battle for stuff sometimes in the workplace too. So that's you know, kind of gratifying to hear, and, you know, hopefully these hockey girls got the same experience with us and, you know, use it for life lessons going forward.
With Gordy, Mark, I believe this is the first junior Golden Knights team to win a national championship. Is that
girls program?
Girls program, pardon me. So what does that mean for you guys? It's great for your, it's amazing for your team, but also for the landscape of youth hockey in Vegas, it's a big deal too.
I would think so. Like, I hope the girls in town and in the valley, you know, realize, you know, we got that same opportunity as the boys do. You know, hopefully it'll expand the numbers that sign up to play hockey, and, you know, we'll see where it goes from there. But it never hurts to have a team like the Golden Knights win a Stanley Cup, and, you know, the boys program is so strong here in town that, you know, I think we keep adding a few banners across the landscape. Maybe we'll get some more talented kids come out.
You've given us a little bit of behind the scenes, what it felt like on the bench, a couple of pep talks, yourself having the premonition of a 1-0 win. Just curious, when they do the Disney version of this movie, what other moments might make it in? Were there any rah-rah moments for the girls, or any special moments that stood out?
Even during the week, right?
Throughout the week, yeah.
Well, I don't know if there's anything in particular that comes to mind, but I know my assistant coach, Jesse Bynum, I've got my arm up in the air after we score the winning goal, and he tackles me on the flipping bench, and I just dislocated a rib. But, you know, that was there. You know, the girls, I think they went golfing one day at, just hit some golf balls at a driving range. And, you know, just the camaraderie, the parents hanging out together at the hotel at night, you know, they're a special group. And, you know, I know winning covers up a lot of warts and makes things maybe seem better than what they are, but they're a great group of families, great group of kids.
Looking forward to seeing that pennant go up?
Absolutely. So I told the girls, I go, hey, you're sisters for life now. Like, you're the first girls team to put a banner up. You guys are joined at the hip for the rest of your lives.
Was it a harder journey than you thought? How would you describe it?
There's games early on where we, you know, we're in semifinal games for other tournaments and we come up a little short, and, you know, we just kept saying, you know, girls, it's a learning experience. We win or we learn. You know, we don't lose. We just run out of time. And I think the early failures helped galvanize us for what happened later in the year yesterday. Yeah. They just, they played, you know, so composed that I really believe that those early losses helped us.
Any keepsakes? Anybody have the overtime puck, the game sheet, anything like that? Anything for the museums?
Liz has got the OT winner. Our goalie, they gave her a game puck. We got some national championship swag, and we brought that banner home.
Liz Smith scored the overtime winner. We'll leave it with you describing the play that led to the national championship.
About center ice, we got a little puck bounce. Came to her. She's coming down the right side. Initially, she made a move on a defenseman just inside the blue line, got a little free space, and got her head up but top the circles. And I know she was looking at the same thing I saw. The goalie was off her angle a little bit and saw the far side. She had about a third of the net to hit, and she let her rip and found the twine.
It was a great celebration.
She is the best.
Yeah.
She's she's a level 9 gymnast besides. Like, the kid is a little ball of muscle. And I didn't see her celebration because Jesse had tackled me. And then I went back and watched somebody post a clip of it, and I was just laughing at her like she was rubbing her stick. it was good stuff.
That's a core memory, core moment. Make the most of it.
Yeah. That's outstanding. Hey, congratulations. We're really thankful that you made the switch from softball over to hockey. Thank you, Wally, for the recruiting. Darren Elliott, Jeff Sharples, everybody for coming together, and the girls themselves. Credit to you for guiding the girls along this journey.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me today. It was a pleasure. It was all mine.
Gordy Martin with us in Studio 31 on Nighttime at Noon. We'll get back to Tomas Hertl, where he might slot in as the Golden Knights take on the Vancouver Canucks when we continue right after this on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thank you to Gordy Mark for joining us, head coach of the 14U VGK Junior Golden Knights girls team that won the national championship yesterday. Liz Smith was the girl that scored the overtime goal. And if you're watching on the social media channels or Nighttime Plus, you see that move around the defenseman and then fire that puck home, blocker side, and then it's game on with a celebration. Puts her glove on her stick, holds it up, and then it's the tackle at center ice. But the celebration is arguably better than the national championship goal.
You know, if we get to interview her on one of the future programs, I need to know if that was all spontaneous or if she had that one drawn up or if she's done that one on the driveway before. But, like, that was – yeah, she knew what she was doing. That was prepared.
Yeah. She had to be a great skater, too, just to separate herself from the pack to be able to get
– outrun everybody.
The time to put the glove on the stick. And wonderful. I can't see Gordy and Jesse on the bench, but that would have been good, too.
Her teammates might have just had the presence of mind, like, everyone stand back, give her 5 feet, she's going to do something here. Coach Jesse didn't have that. He went right in with the shoulder, but 14 Gordy's up on his feet again.
National champions, congratulations, and can't wait to see that banner up at City National Arena and be able to enjoy what the girls were able to do and reflect on that over the years. First VGK junior girls program to win a national championship. The big club, the Golden Knights in Vancouver, tonight, and you can watch that game on Scripps Sports, Vegas 34, Nighttime Plus. Listen to it on Fox Sports Las Vegas as the Golden Knights will try to trim their magic number down to 1 with a victory over the Vancouver Canucks. It was just last week that Vegas was in full control with a strong first period and able to put away these same Vancouver Canucks in decisive fashion. They run it back tonight with Tomas Hertl making his debut. It'll be interesting to see. Looks like Chandler Stephenson's line is where he's destined to start tonight, and what impact he will have, how much time he'll get on the power play.
And obviously you want to insert a guy like him with a top six role, even if he is getting not just acclimated to this team and his teammates, but also, again, hasn't played in a while, so you want to give him a chance to be his best self while at the same time monitoring minutes if you need to. But if you look at the top line of Barbashev, Eichel, Marceau, you don't want to disrupt that. You don't want to disrupt William Karlsson's line right now because that's doing well. So that's a pretty natural spot for Tomas Hertl to slot in and make an impact.
Plays on the left side, but he can also play center. So also gives you that versatility, being able to work draws and or somebody gets tossed out. We see that advantageous position if you've got two centermen on the same line. We saw a lot of his San Jose highlights earlier in the program on the Nighttime Plus stream. Did anything jump out at you as far as – because you don't look at other players the same way as just dialed in as we do Vegas Golden Knight players. What do you think he brings tonight?
Well, I think Bruce Cassidy talked about it a little bit yesterday, too, about, again, when you get him into the lineup and try to make immediate use of him, you're going to want to use him on the power play because he has, of course, the skill set that he has. But he says maybe net front because he's done some net front work before. But that's part of what he's going to bring. He's got skill. He's got dynamic ability, of course. And, again, he's got – I said before, he's a 40-goal talent. The most he's ever scored is 35, but he's a guy who can score 40. But what he does net front is going to be important. And also, you know, what he can play with – if he's going to be playing with Chandler Stephenson, that's going to be quick. That's going to be quick transition. That's going to open things up for him, and he's got a tremendous release. So if he can find space, he's going to have an opportunity to do damage. And I think the thing to remember, too, is he's put up very good numbers and been a dynamic player on a San Jose team that hasn't been good the last couple of seasons, and this is going to be a step up for him, similar to when Jack Eichel came over. Like, okay, he's doing great work in Buffalo, but he's not playing with a whole lot in Buffalo. He's going to come over to Vegas and have an opportunity to play with more talent than he has in the past. For Tomas Hertl, maybe the expectations of what he can do in Vegas are more of what he was doing a few seasons ago, let alone what he's done the last couple of years where he's still been very, very strong. So what he can do with fast line mates who can open up space for him is going to be significant.
I love players that embrace going to the front of the net. And look, everybody knows that's where you're going to be successful and you're going to win hockey games, you're going to put up numbers. And we've seen that transition in Jonathan Marchessault's game. He's gone from a primary transitional player off the rush to scoring a ton of goals in and around the front of the net, and he's having a career season. Tomas Hertl embraces that area. Yeah. That is his area. He loves to tip pucks. He loves going for rebounds. He can live in that area. Good on the rush, good skater, everything else. But he put him in front of the net. Very difficult to move at 6'3" and with those legs.
6'3", I think 215, 210, something of that. He's a big body. He's a big frame. And not only is he hard to move, he's going to get deflections. He's going to get chances in front. But he's also going to have – he has the hands and the dexterity in tight to be able to finish on loose pucks. So it's not a matter of putting Tomas Hertl there to be a big body and hack and whack. When there are loose pucks, he's going to be able to get the puck out of his skates to create. So, I mean, net front is going to be significant. And not to mention the fact, Aaron, it's that time of year. Playoff hockey has begun. It hasn't begun on the calendar, but everyone's playing at their playoff style now. So there's going to be fewer penalties called. There's going to be a lot more let go. There's going to be a lot more violence allowed in front, and you need to have a player of
physical
his,
play.
Physical play.
Yeah.
You're going to need that allowed in front. You're going to need a player of Tomáš Hertl's stature to be able to finish and get the greasy one. So, you know, again, we'll see how quickly he feels like himself when he gets back to game action. But, I mean, that's a tremendous addition and something that the Golden Knights could use more of in front.
I have two theories on Tomáš Hertl that really could make this acquisition prosper. On the short term as well as the next number of years. So we'll get into that as we continue. Brian McCormick, Darren Millard on Nighttime at Noon on Nighttime Plus on Fox Sports Las Vegas. We continue after this.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Inside Studio 31, City National Arena. Oh, we look forward to this every week where we get to really dive into the Vegas Golden Knights. You've also got the VGK Insider Show from 4 until 6 on Fox Sports Las Vegas. And it's the last six games to come this season. The final two road games will take place tonight in Vancouver and then Wednesday against the Edmonton Oilers and finish up with a four-game homestand. Here's my theories on Tomáš Hertl and why we might see a great surge here on the short term, even though he's coming off the injury and the rehab. Number one, he stays inside the Pacific Division. So there's nothing odd about this. He's going to Vancouver, where he's played 100 times. Edmonton, which he's familiar with. This is perfect. He's not going to New Jersey, where he's got to get used to the travel or the different travel or different arenas. The routine stays the same. So I think that's a big plus. And the other one is he comes from a moment right now where he was expected to be in a rebuild with San Jose. Instead, he's joining the Stanley Cup champions in the midst of defending. And I think that has to give him just a massive jolt of excitement.
I agree. It's a player that was in the midst of a situation where for the Sharks, you call it a rebuild. It's a rebuild that maybe isn't even yet on its upward trajectory yet. They're still working through what the first brick looks like. But he's a super talented player, comes right into a Stanley Cup run. And you know what else is strong, too, is that if you're a player like him at full health, moved on deadline day, that's going to be what everyone's talking about. Now, don't get me wrong. I got plenty of talk when it happened. But there was the understanding of, like, this is going to be a great addition when he's ready to play. So it almost gives you a little bit of a delay to it sunk in. He's not under a microscope his first three or four games off the deadline of, okay, how's he going to fit? How's he going to mesh? Is it the right piece to add? Now it almost becomes just a bonus addition, despite the fact that he's got top six impact. So some of the pressure that could have come with him playing in early March is able to subside. He gets healthy and he comes into a team that's winning. And also right now, if he is the guy and he becomes the offensive driver, beautiful. Doesn't have to be right away. Jack Eichel, Jonathan Marchessault, they're rolling. They're getting goal scoring. So Tomáš Hertl can have the ability to come in, make an impact as quickly as he can. He's going to want to be putting up points immediately. But if it takes a little time for him to dust himself off, there's other players that are driving it right now. So it's a very good situation for him to come in and have star impact without the pressure that comes with being the guy that makes a team a Stanley Cup contender.
I think his personality is also infectious. He genuinely loves the game.
Yeah.
He is a fan of the game and loves being around the rink. And I talked to Jack the other day, and just he's just so impressed at what a great guy Tomáš Hertl is.
And again, you mentioned the change of scenery for him now. He's a guy who loves to have fun, going from a team that wasn't having a whole lot to a team that is having fun, has a winning pedigree, and it has its most important hockey ahead of it.
A big man, too, 6'3". You look at some of the highlights, and there's some guys that look it, and then there's other guys going, he almost looks bigger than 6'3" when you see the highlights.
I tell you, talk about the player, the teams that you need to beat to get to a Stanley Cup championship. You need big net front presences as well. And again, we're not talking about Patrick Maroon net front presence. This is a guy who's dynamic on the perimeter as well. But when you put him net front on the power play, when you have him battling in front, he's got the build and he's got the ability. And I don't know if you got a chance to watch. I'm sure you're watching as much hockey every night as I am. But last night I watched Dallas and Colorado. Dallas looks good. Colorado's a team. They've been losing a lot of net front battles. They lost them last night against Dallas. They lost them against Edmonton. They're a team that actually looks like they need to get meaner in front. So if you've got the ability to put someone in that's going to give you the tilt inside the hash marks. That's a massive addition this time of year.
Power play was the difference last night for the Dallas Stars.
3 for 3.
Let's see if Tomas Hertl gives the Man Advantage a boost for the Vegas Golden Knights. And it's also interesting. We're excited. Everybody in this room is excited to see Tomas Hertl. Everybody on that bench and that locker room for the Vegas Golden Knights can't wait to see him. Like, he's that type of player where Jack is looking for, when Jack's on the bench, he's gonna be watching, see what the first impressions are of Tomas Hertl. Not every player gathers that type of respect when they come over to a new team.
And sometimes we forget that players are fans too, in the sense that, like, right, I'm gonna be at my TV, like, let's see what you've taken a premier player and dropped him into your lineup a couple of weeks before playoffs start. This can make, you know, it's a transformative opportunity right before the playoffs start of making the VGK an even better, more imposing roster than what they already look like going into, you know, this morning. But as the players for the VGK, players around the league, like, okay, well, let's see what he looks like in gold. Let's see what he does playing alongside Jack Eichel on a power play or however they decide to use him. Everyone's curious, so it's fun at this time of year. We already have must-watch TV on the basis of matchups and possible playoff matchups, things of that nature. It's also fun just to see a player to have genuine curiosity that pulls you to your TV set.
One other game tonight, Toronto takes on the Pittsburgh Penguins, and the Penguins, with a victory, can move back into a playoff spot, a wild-card position in the Eastern Conference. The way things have gone in that Eastern Conference playoff race, Pittsburgh probably won't win tonight because nobody seems to want to take control of that spot. But we're looking at Detroit, Pittsburgh, or Washington to possibly get in there. You're talking Sid, Ovi, or Detroit getting back in. There's great options here.
And as much as it's moving in the wrong direction in terms of just the mathematical viability, Philly's still there on the outside looking into. But it's interesting to see. Like you said, nobody wants to grab hold of this thing. Tampa was in that situation maybe 3 weeks ago. They figured themselves out. They're pretty well ensconced. But the Islanders are in third. You could wait 2 days, and they might drop out. So nobody's wanted to grab hold of it. But one of the teams that seems to have at least recognized the hour is Pittsburgh. And as tough as they looked on deadline day, you look at the last, I think they're 6-0-2 in their last eight or something. They've taken this stretch run seriously. And it's Crosby, and it's Malkin, and it's Rust, and it's Letang, who have just flipped a switch to make that push. And right
they've
now
won four in a row.
Yeah, they won four in a row. I think points in 6 of 8. They're right now pushing. And if you look at who's not getting that push, Detroit day in, day out, it wavers. Washington day in, day out, it wavers. Right now, Pittsburgh and the Islanders seem like the two teams that have recognized where the finish line is.
Pittsburgh's better than I ever thought they would be. In a better spot than I thought they would be.
Yeah.
Just all year, you were kind of waiting for it, and the power play has been dismal, and they haven't been any type of consistent play. But Alex Nedeljkovic has stepped up in goal. Sid has been great all season.
Yeah.
They survived the
But he's really putting
him
on
Jake
his back
Gensel.
Now.
I heard a stat yesterday, and I won't recite it verbatim, but when Malkin and Crosby both score in a game, you know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
But it's like 95% win rate for Pittsburgh.
I was thinking earlier, and again, it was right after the deadline. The Penguins still scuffled for a couple of weeks. But I thought to myself, well, Nashville had the canceled U2 concert, and that spurred their turn. The trade of Jake Gensel, that just made Crosby and Malkin angry. And they decide, the heck with it, we're just going to go to the end now. But it is interesting for the Penguins. It's an old roster, their cap situation, like those contracts that they have of older players, they're not going anywhere. So are the Penguins an elite team over the course of 82 games? Maybe not anymore. But they might be a team like we're seeing that, all right, hey, we need really, really good for 10 games. Oh, okay, we can lean into that.
Would you be worried about Pittsburgh if you were a first-round opponent?
I don't think so. Not as worried as I'd be about the Golden Knights if they were going to be in a wild card spot. Hopefully they move themselves higher, but that's a tough draw, especially I mean, Tomas Hertl for the likes of Dallas or Vancouver. I think if you're the Rangers or the Hurricanes or the Bruins, you want to avoid Tampa, I think. I think whether it's Pittsburgh that gets in, the Islanders that get in, it'll be a good effort, but it's going to take so much effort and so much gasoline just to get in. Then they're going to be running into a team that, because again, you look at the Rangers, look at Boston, look at the Carolina, they're not fat and happy. they're battling trying to make sure they get that top spot. That's going to be a primed top seed, whoever gets that second wild card. So I don't think anyone's going to be afraid of that. Hey, I don't think.
Detroit, Pittsburgh, Washington, or Philly? Any of those teams scare you? Do you see any of those teams being able to pull off a run like what Florida did in that position last year?
I don't, because Florida was on a tear to get in there. Even with Pittsburgh has been playing really, really well. It's not enough of a sample size. Again, I think, and especially with Pittsburgh with their age at this point, it's also Nedeljkovic has been good. He's not a goaltender that's going to completely take over a series, I don't think. So I think any of those, it's going to be a great story for them to seize that final spot, but they're not a team that's better than whoever they go up against in round one. So anything can happen, but I don't think anyone's afraid of it.
News coming out of Vancouver, Artur Silov is going to start in goal for the Vancouver Canucks. They're going with their organization's third guy, but Thatcher Demko's out, and Casey DeSmith will, the backup normally, will fall into his familiar spot. Surprised at all with Silov, and we should he can play.
Seals has been very, very good with Abbotsford, and he's had good showings with Vancouver this year, too. Two shutout wins against the Silver Knights this year, so when I've seen him, he's looked phenomenal. But I don't think
you
so.
You mind not taking in tonight's game, then?
What's that?
Do you mind not watching tonight's
game? If you don't want me to, I'll go.
Based on you watching Seals and him being really good, we take you out of the equation. Well, it may open up the floodgates a little bit.
Jack Campbell's looked really good to me this year, too, so it might be. There's a lot of goaltenders who look good when I've watched them this year. But, you know, it wasn't a good night for DeSmith against the Golden Knights last week, and it's a Vancouver team that could use a little bit of a jolt, so maybe they see if they can get it from the kid.
Mm-hmm. Did you take in the Eclipse today?
I did not. I forgot. I didn't forget it was today, but I didn't know when it was. But I drove in here in complete sunshine, so I presume I didn't miss it.
So you came from Henderson?
Correct, yeah.
And you drove over, and you got here about 15 minutes before the show, which means you were in your car during the eclipse.
What time was it?
11:23.
All right. No one else driving around me seemed to notice either.
Don't blame this on everybody else.
I'm just saying, I was on the highway. I was not looking straight up. It was
so you didn't notice that there was any type of eclipse while you were driving over?
I did not notice any overwhelming solar activity on the drive over. That was...
You are locked in, aren't you?
Or oblivious, either way. The sun disappeared, and like, nope, can't. Got to get to Darren. I'm late.
And I was just sitting here, not even testing my headset, just hanging out. Thanks to Gordy Mark for stopping by. National championship coach for the 14U VGK Junior Girls program. It is neat. Like, we went through the Golden Knights winning the Stanley Cup and the banner and everything, but like, that's a national championship for that program.
Core memories for young kids and
yeah.
For hockey.
It does mean something, and it will stick with them.
Absolutely.
Even though it's useless.
And a great Selly, too.
Wow. Liz Smith, making it happen. If you haven't seen it, we'll try to make sure that we post it. Or we'll have it for you tonight on the VGK pregame show ahead of the Vancouver Canucks and the Golden Knights. Homish Hurdle.